Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Wicked. Okay, so thank you for that introduction. And we've been through the journey. We've been from a boy to a man spiritually. We've had some fun times on the road. And it's quite amazing that we're actually starting. I'm just going to do the first in the series of Proverbs today, which is amazing. Proverbs is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's a book of wisdom, which I need a lot of. And if you've never read Proverbs before, it has got so much knowledge in it. It is so good. It is proper good soul food for the soul. It is absolutely incredible. And I'm so excited for this series for the summer. And today I'm going to be speaking on planning. And this message today is an important message that is going to change your life. It is going to change your lifestyle. It is going to bring applicable biblical teaching to areas of your life that is going to transform and give you a good future today. Because we all heard the saying, failing to plan is planning to fail. And today we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at how we can plan in difficult times, God's vision in our planning, and my favorite one, financial planning. And the truth is, we want to tackle all 3 of them in our lives. And the truth is, if we want to reach the goals and dreams in our life, we have to make a plan. Lil Wayne, one for our youth, the rapper Lil Wayne once said, "The more time that we spend contemplating what we should have done, you lost valuable time planning what you can and will do." Successful people set their direction and they go for it. And Proverbs 13:16 says this, "Sensible people always think before they act, but stupid people advertise their ignorance." So, a bit strong, isn't it? But that book of wisdom, it's got to be tough. And if you want to achieve goals, if you want to achieve the goals and the dreams that you've made for yourself in your life, then you'll need a plan to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And you're going to need a plan to overcome the unexpected things that you're going to find on that journey. Because without a plan, you won't have a roadmap that you will need to reach your goals. And I think the best plan I've ever seen in the Bible is from Genesis 24, which talks about one of Abraham's chief servants. And he came up with a creative plan to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. Now, the servant had 2 major obstacles. The first one was, where is he going to find a wife for Isaac in his master's homeland? And the second one was, how is he going to find a high character woman without observing her for long term? Well, he devised a plan to solve both problems. So the first thing he did was he went to a place where the women gathered in those days, which was most common, the watering well. And he had much higher odds of finding a wife for Isaac there than he would have done in any other place. And he knew exactly how to get the type of wife he wanted for Isaac, because he wanted to find a compassionate, loving woman. So he looked for someone who would offer up 15 gallons of water for each of his 10 camels. That's a lot of water. And he didn't just rely on guesswork to accomplish his goal. Instead, he prayerfully established a plan, and ultimately, he was successful. And in doing so, he proved what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:16, "Sensible people always think before they act, but stupid people advertise their ignorance." So good planning, whether it is whether that plan is for your family, whether that plan is for your work, whether it's for finding a job, whether it's for having an own business, whether it's for your ministry and your calling that God has for your life, or any area of your life, good planning is important, and it has 3 parts to it. The first part is the steps. First of all, we find our goal and we find our dream, and then we put steps in place to achieve them. We need to establish how we're going to get from where we are now to where we want to be and write down those steps. The second thing is deadlines. Put a target in place. Assign a date to each of the steps. A goal is a statement of faith as you plan what you believe God wants you to accomplish by a particular date. And the last one, schedule. Write the dates in a calendar. Don't just hide them. Don't just put them to one side. Write down, schedule your time to work on the steps that you need to do and the deadlines you need to reach them at so that you can achieve your dreams. Studies show that in the world, only 42% of goals are achieved when they are written down. And in the UK, only 8% of people have achieved their goals. Successful people set the direction and they go for it. Unsuccessful people, they'll drift. Life just happens for them. And without any goals, they don't know where they're going in life and it just passes by. In life, there are dreamers and there are planners. And the planners are the ones that make their dreams come true. Don't let your life drift by. Instead, follow the example of Abraham's servant, set a clear goal and develop a plan to reach it. So my goal in life is to have a wife, so I'm going to go to a watering well and find one. But no, so, but no. Do you know what? We all have goals in our life. My main goal is the goal to have God's calling in my life. How do you achieve God's calling in your life? Well, you put the steps in place to do it. You start reading, you start praying, you start spending time with God. And for me, it's time to start studying, start getting studies, start listening to podcasts, come under leadership and follow their lead and get to where God wants you to be. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing about your goals that you want to achieve? What are you doing about what God's purpose and God's goal is for your life? Are we working towards achieving our goals? And I know what the saying is. The saying is, it's so hard to do that. I want to own my own business. It's so hard in these uncertain times. I want to be this and I want to be that, but it's so hard in these uncertain times. Well, this is how we set goals in uncertain times. This is my first point. An uncertain time can be many things. It could be a financial problem. It could be a family problem. It could be a work problem. Or in a bigger worldly scale, it could be a worldly disaster, a world event like a war, or recently a global pandemic. But goal setting and planning is an act of faith. Proverbs 16:9 says, we should make plans counting on God to direct us. Now, you know you're acting in faith when you attempt to do something that you know you cannot do on your own power, something that requires you to rely on God. And goal setting is an act of faith. And many people in life never set goals because they fear failure and they have lack of faith. And the truth is, God is not moved by accomplishments. God is not moved by your achievements. God is not moved by complaints or regrets or wishes. God is moved by faith. And Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So when you set a goal, it's like saying, God, with your help, I'm expecting to accomplish this specific task by this specific date. You're setting the tone, you're setting the line, you're setting that standard, you're giving it a date, you're giving it a schedule, and you're going to put the things in place, and you're trusting in God to accomplish those things with you. And that kind of goal is a statement of faith, and God honors faith. If you found it difficult to set goals during these uncertain times, especially because circumstances keep occurring, changing so quickly, then there are two things that we can do about it. The first thing we can do is scenario goal setting. Now, this means that we set up a multiple of goals and plans, and depending on the circumstances or depending on what happens, for example, let's give you an example. I will do this by this day if this happens, or I will do that by that day if that happens. Scenario goal setting is a legitimate way to plan for the future as you trust God during uncertain times. And Proverbs 16:9, we should make plans counting on God to direct us. Secondly, you focus on the character, on your character goals. This one was very vital for me. Rather than looking at the activity goals, looking at the goals that you want to achieve in life, you look at yourself. In other words, you can set goals for what you want to be instead of what you want to do. Who do you want to be this time next year? Do you want to be a manager in your workplace? Do you want to be part of the worship band and sing or play an instrument? Do you want to be all that God has for you? Do you want your own business? If these are the things that are on your heart, then we need to change our character to achieve them. How do you want to be different in life? Do you want to be less a person who's less worried, who's less stressed, who's less who's fearing all the time? Do you want to be a person who doesn't have these attributes and rather goes for life with a joyful heart and a fearless heart, knowing that God is with them? How do you want to be more like Christ in your life? And the hardest one to face, what weaknesses do I need to work on? No matter how out of control the world may feel, you can always make the choice to change and to grow, to become the person that you want to be. And it's time to get to work. We need to stop wondering what could be and start moving in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you act in faith, God will honor your goals and help you reach the greatest goal by bringing glory to him. And it's like what Lloyd was saying. I've been on a journey from a boy to a man, been through so many obstacles, been through so many great times, you know, and tough times. But my character goal was one thing that God wanted to work on with me. And my character when I was growing up was, I am from a council estate, I'm from a working class background, I'm uneducated, but you know what, I work hard, I play hard, and I have fun in life, and I go for everything, and I put my heart into everything that I do, yeah? But that's not who God says I am. The good ones, like, you know, put your heart into everything, go for it, have fun. Yeah, that's great. But what about the part where I class myself as working class, which is, there's nothing wrong with it. But the uneducated part, what about that? Am I limiting myself? Because really what God says to me is that I can achieve all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I need to change my mindset. I need to have a kingdom mindset to what God says I can be. And you know what? I can have an education. I can obtain knowledge. I can study. And I can become more like Christ. And you know what I need? It's what we all need. We need God's vision for our life. Why do we need God's vision for our life? Why do we need God's vision in our plans? Getting God's vision for our life requires prayer, requires careful planning, and a continual effort to hear God's voice. So why does the Bible say that vision is so important in your life? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's essential to have a clear vision of God's purpose for our life. Put your hand up real quick. Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Maybe we need to start asking the question. This is why we need God's vision. James 1:8 says, a person who has doubts is thinking about two different things at the same time and can't make up his mind about anything. Without God's vision for your future, you drift and just wander through life. You wake up, go to your 9-to-5, go to the gym, go out, go home, eat dinner, sleep, wake up, repeat, repeat, repeat. But that's not how we were meant to live our lives. If you don't have goals or purpose or meaning, when you just let life happen to you, you're not living. With no vision, you waste time and you miss opportunities. You don't make the most of what's been given to you, and that makes you a poor steward of life. You end up just coasting through. And when you're coasting, do you coast uphill or downhill? You can't coast uphill because you need power. Coasting takes no effort. Coasting takes no power. You're just going to go downhill. Without God's vision, there's division. If you don't want to, or if you don't understand God's vision for your life, then the truth is, how can you expect others to? How can you expect others to know God's vision for your life and support you in God's vision for your life? In fact, the lack of vision makes you vulnerable to others, steering you towards what they think or they assume is good for you, or what your purpose is.
Only God can tell you your purpose because he created you specifically and uniquely to live out your life. And only following his vision will allow you to live an abundant life that God intends for you. And if you aren't sure where you're heading, then don't expect anyone else to go with you. Proverbs 28:2 says, when the country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. But it takes a leader of real understanding to straighten things out. Do you think the government needs to hear that? But it's true. When a country or a person is in chaos, everyone has a plan to fix it. Oh, I think you should do this way. I think you should do that way. But really and truly, it takes a true leader to step up and straighten things out. And vision is the antidote to division. And without God's vision, there's collision. For many people, vision is the antidote to division, and without God's vision, there's collision. For many people, life is just a series of relational confrontations, financial crashes, and personal crisis. But the Bible warns of the consequences of not following God's vision in life. 1 Timothy 1 says this, some have refused to let their faith guide their conscience, and their faith has been destroyed like a wrecked ship. Getting God's vision for your life requires prayer. It requires planning. It requires careful thought and a continual effort to hear God's voice. And it's the result of seeing things clearly with eyes of faith rather than eyes of fear. And when your faith guides your conscience, you'll gain a clearer understanding on how to move forward with purpose. So how do you get God's vision for your life? You read your Bible. You get to know what God is like. You get to know the Father's heart. You get to know what Jesus is like. You pray. You tithe. I'll come into that in the financial bit. And overall, you serve God. And then when you're doing all these things, God will show you your character. He will show you your gifts. He will show you your calling in life, and he will help you work towards that. I remember when I first started out, like I said, I'd never read, never prayed, never done anything. I'll be honest, I just turned up to church, loved the worship, loved the word. Great, and I'm back off to work for the rest of the week. Enjoyed Sunday. But no, the truth is, we've got so much more to live in life. Our life is happening. We're supposed to be happening. So it's time to start reading. It's time to start praying. And yeah, I do struggle. I'm going to be vulnerable and honest. I do struggle, but I still do it. I still read and I still pray and I still serve. And in that, God has showed me what his vision is for my life. And for those of you who didn't put your hand up when you said you don't know what God's vision is for your life, are you doing those vital things? Are you reading? Are you praying? Are you serving? Because serving comes in many forms. It doesn't just mean on a Sunday morning. Don't get me wrong, it's great when we get help. But it doesn't just mean on a Sunday morning. God says we serve by serving others in need. Are we doing what God has called us to do? And finally, financial blessing. Who wants a financial blessing in their life? I don't mean winning the lottery, I mean financial breakthrough. Who wants true financial? National lottery, it's great, but it's not going to last forever. God's bank of God, bank of God's kingdom, that will last forever. Who wants a financial breakthrough from the bank of heaven? Amen? Amen. Come on. Bring it, Lord. Woo! I'll have that Maserati soon. Now, financial blessing requires careful planning. Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty, Proverbs 21. So if you want to be financially strong, then we need to start writing down what we spend until you know where all your money is going. This is the principle of accounting. You've got to keep track of your finances. Have you ever made it to the end of the month and sort of questioned yourself, where did all my money go? Or have you ever got like sometimes 2 weeks into the month and go, where's my money gone? That happened to me a couple of times. But we've got to keep track on our finances because ignorance of our financial condition plus easy credit equals disaster. Now, you've probably heard this phrase before, money talks.
It does not. It just gets up and flies away. And it doesn't tell you where it's going. To know what you're spending your money on, we must keep good records. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work leads to prosperity. Now, when it comes to your finances, we need to keep a good record of four things. What do you own? What do you owe? What do you earn? And where is it going? This kind of record keeping is a framework of budgeting. Now, Proverbs 23:5 says, your money can be gone in a flash, as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. That's a descriptive picture right there. Anyone ever seen an American dollar? It's got an eagle on the top of it. If you don't know where your money is going, it's just going to fly away like an eagle. It's the truth. The financial plan that God blesses starts with recognizing that God is our source of income. God is our provider and our security. And then by keeping good records, we can quickly see how God is blessing you. I'll give you my personal story. I've got two times with finances. This is how I receive financial blessing from God. The first one, tithe. Who likes spending money but not getting anything from it? I don't. And I was like, when the Bible talks about tithing, I'm like, well, all right, but what am I getting out of it? I'm paying for something here. What am I getting out of it? But you know what? There's an inheritance that we inherit that is unseen but seen. Here's what I mean. I started off by tithing £5 a week. And in the first month, I had a pay rise in my work. Amen. After that, I increased my tithe. I started to put more and more and more. And you know what? Every month I have and I tithe, I never run out of money. I'm able to save. I've had pay rises upon pay rises, promotions upon promotions. If you want to start seeing a financial blessing in your life, start investing into the kingdom of heaven. People today will say, invest in Bitcoin, invest in this, invest in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want a true financial blessing, if you want true financial breakthrough, invest in the kingdom of heaven. And secondly, I struggled managing my money. You know, I was that friend, like, you know, when you're out and about and you want something to eat, you want something to drink, it's like, yeah, I'll go ahead, mate, go on, frat on that, yeah, it's all good. I was one of those friends, generous without sort of aware of what I was doing. And I wanted to sort of handle my finances better, and I didn't know how. And I remember we did a cap money course on the owner's estate. It was absolutely incredible until we got to the part where we had to look at our ingoings and outgoings. And my outgoings, yeah, my rent, council tax, all the essential stuff. And then it came to, like, what do you spend all your other money on? And it's like, coffee, 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 food, food, food. And I'm thinking, how much coffee do I drink in a day? How much food and lunch, like, do I buy at work? Like, who's had that? You go to work and you like to take a packed lunch or sandwich, but you think, you know what, I can just go Tesco's, that'll do me. And then suddenly that money starts to disappear and add up and add up. Managing your money is important. And you need to plan your financial records, because that is where the financial blessings come, and it is wisdom. Amen? I'll finish with this. And this is what God says to you guys today. Plan for tomorrow, but live for today. Plan for tomorrow, but live for today. God doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow. The good thing about the future is that it doesn't hit you all at once. If you had an entire life thrown at you at one time, it would be a bit overwhelming, won't it? So God gives it to you in little bite-sized 24-hour segments each day. And since God only gives you one day at a time, that's how he expects you to live and approach life. Live one day at a time and make it count. Jesus taught us that in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own problems. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus is saying there, stop borrowing trouble. If there's something happening next week, then why are you messing up today worrying about it? Worry can't change the past. It can't control the future. Worry only makes you miserable today. So God gives you all the grace that you need, but just enough for
for today and every day. And he doesn't stockpile all that power in your life and give it to you and say, right, here's all the power. That's got to last you a week. I'll see you next week. God doesn't work like that. He gives it to you daily. That's why when we pray, we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He wants you to take life one day at a time. And when you don't know what your future holds, you can still take life one day at a time. And that's all you're meant to do. When everything is uncertain and you don't know how to make wise decisions for your future, then just take care of today. God doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow, but he also don't want you to presume about it either. It's important to plan, it's important to pray, and trust God for the future. But God still expects you to put your energy and effort into making today count. So how do we make today count? A great way to do this is to focus on the things that God loves and cares about. Don't worry about what's happening on TikTok. Don't worry about what's happening on Facebook. Worry about what God cares about. Like your spiritual growth. He cares about two things. He cares about you, your spiritual growth, your relationship with him. And the second thing he cares about is the people around you who need help right now. And that's how we make our day count. Proverbs 27:1 says, don't brashly announce what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. When everything else in life seems unclear, this is about as clear as you can get it. Plan for tomorrow and live for today, and God will give you everything that you need to be obedient in both. Can we just stand where we are? We're just going to go into a time of prayer. In fact, straight away, can you get into like twos and threes? We're going to pray for each other. This is a time where God moves. We're going to pray for each other now. Can we have a bit of, yeah. We're going to pray for each other now, because you know what? Failing to plan is planning to fail. And loads of us have got so many dreams. Loads of us have got so much vision for our life. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And it's time to put a plan in action.
Amen.
So we just want to, can you just, in your twos and threes, just close your eyes, lay hands on each other, hold hands. I don't know, however you want to do it. But we're just going to welcome the presence of God into each of us now. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, Jesus is here with us. And Jesus, we just welcome you here today. Lord, we welcome you here in our hearts. God, thank you, Lord, for today's message. Lord, thank you, God, for speaking to your people. And Lord, we just pray over your people right now. In your twos and threes, I want you to pray for God's vision over each other. Pray for God's vision into each other's life. Pray that God will show you your purpose, your calling, your dream, your desire, and ask him to show you the steps that you need to take to achieve it. Pray for God's vision in your life. Secondly, I think this is the most important one, guys. Pray for your character. The person who we're meant to be more like in life is Jesus. The second person we're meant to be more like in life is all that God calls us to be. Be honest with yourself and change your mindset into a kingdom mindset. If you're like me and you're like, I'm working class, council estate, uneducated, poor, below the poverty line, change that mindset today and say, God, I am your child, you are the provider, and I can do all things through you. Change that mindset and walk into what God has for you. God has so much for you. We need to take steps to achieve it. It's time to change our character. It's time to stop worrying. It's time to stop having fear. It's time to stop stressing about something that is not come yet. But instead, go for all that God has for us. And lastly, if you are worried or stressed about your future, if you're worried or stressed about tomorrow, then it's time to live in the now. Don't worry or stress about what's coming, but plan for it and live in the present. And live to the fullness that God has for us today. Father, I just pray that you will help us to see life through faith. Lord, we want to follow your vision. We want to
things that you want us to do, for the calling that you have on our lives. God, we lay our crowns at your feet today, Lord, and we say, God, I'm going to trust you and expect great things from you as we step forward in faith to attempt great things for you. Lord, we are committed to your plan for our lives.